This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Josh Satin, who I got to be familiar with over at SNY for a couple of years. How are you, Josh?
I'm doing great, Sal.
Move up to the mic there. Come on, rookie.
I'm sorry. I've only done TV. I've never done radio with you. I'm doing great. It's great to be with you. Great to see you. It's been, 10 years, I guess, since we started SNY together.
Yeah, so what were you doing? I don't remember. I was not hosting the show, I don't think, at that time.
I was just having fun. It was something. I have some family here, and they asked me to go on a couple times, and I loved it. And then you and I were kind of just like panelists. Doug was the host then.
Right, okay, right.
And, we kind of hit it off, and, I've been following you, and your career's taken off. It's great.
Yeah, well, we appreciate that. You're right. It has taken off.
It really has. I think you were doing, I think when we were working together, and not that we were working that much, I would do 10 to 15 shows a year, but you got the gig on the night shift here.
Right. And now look at you. Overnight. Well, now we made it.
Now look at you now.
Yeah, and then who knows? I could be going back soon. Craig Carton might be returning. All right, but either way, so you're in town for David Wright. Now, tell everybody what you were supposed to be doing today, but you chose to come hang out with me instead.
That is true. I was going to play golf with a certain ex-teammate of mine. And
come on, you can't.
It was Matt Harvey. And I decided going out to Jersey to play golf. I'd rather hang with you, Sal.
I love this. Make sure it's on the record. Let Big Harv know about it. Josh Satin chose to be here with me instead of playing golf with Harv. Now, are you playing later today?
I'm not playing golf. Okay. I'm hanging with him. I'll have dinner with him and whatnot, but I am not going to play golf.
He's the man, too, by the way. He's been at SNY within the last year or so.
Yeah, he's the best. He and I, the last 2-3 years, have reconnected and are in touch a lot.
All right, so now I wanted you, we talked about this a week ago, I wanted you to come in studio even before I started reading all the stories about Wright this week that are in the Post, and you've been quoted in something like, I knew you were close friends with Wright. I didn't know about this night where you were walking to the subway and he stopped by and picked you up in the car. And I'm assuming that's the beginning. Take me through what went on, how you developed that friendship with David Wright.
Yeah, it really started from the beginning. I mean, David, I got drafted in 2008, and David at that point was, the face of the franchise already. What's funny is we're not that dissimilar in age. I stayed 5 years in college due to too many injuries. And so by the time I got drafted, I was 22. I think he's 2 years older than me. He was 24, but he already had, 3 or 4 years in the big leagues. And I was starting out in rookie ball. And so he would speak and at some of the minor league stuff. And most people were scared to talk to him, ask him questions. On the Q&A, I was always like, so what do you think about this? I was willing to pick his brain. Everyone else was terrified of him. And then when I got called up in 2011, we just kind of had a lot in common other than the fact that I was praying to be on the team and he was, top five player in the league. But otherwise, we had a lot in common. And, we kind of just hit it off. And then, throughout my time on the team, we built a good friendship. But it really... He moved to LA or to California, towards the end of his career in the offseason. And when he first moved, this was probably 2016, 2017. He didn't know a single person there. And so we spent a lot of time together, and we still do. But that's really where our friendship went.
All right,
you know, moreover.
And then what about that night specifically where you talk about?
So that was in the beginning, and that was just you know him being him. I'll never forget it. I've never actually mentioned it to him afterwards because I don't like to compliment him too much. Everyone always does it.
It goes to his head. Yeah.
Well, it's not even that. It's just like everyone's always complimenting him and kissing his ass all day. So like,
it's probably why he likes you. So
exactly.
Much,
no, yeah. That is. I learned that very very quickly. I'll never forget. I was walking to the train station. They used to put us up at the Marriott Marquis. I don't know if they still do. Or you could stay at this hotel in Queens. And I didn't know if I was going to be on the team for 1 week or, 5 years. So I was like, I'm staying in Manhattan, right? Like, I'm not staying in Queens when I've never been in the city before and whatever. So I took the Marriott Marquis. They don't tell you how to get home. And so I just was going to go take the train and figure it out. And I was walking there and he drove by and was like, where are you going? And I told him, he's like, get in. And it's not a quick drive into the city, even at like 11. So we spent we talked for 45 minutes and that was kind of the beginning. And it was crazy to me because you don't know who people are, what people are all about. And I didn't think a guy like him would just pick up a random guy who was, September call-ups. I was probably the 38th guy on the roster at the time. But that kind of was indicative of what he was all
now,
about.
What was that conversation like in the car? Because I'm thinking, oh my God, you're comfortable with yourself. You're a big leaguer. However you got there, it doesn't matter. You're a big leaguer at that point. And like you said, you're not going to talk to David and look up to him like he's some god, which I'm sure, earned his respect. But still, I'm thinking, I'm in the car with David, right? Like that could be an awkward, uncomfortable situation.
Yeah. All I remember is I really wanted to ask him about what it was like being 24 and the probably the second highest profile baseball player in New York City. And I think I did towards the end when I got more comfortable. But I think in the beginning it was just he was getting to know me. But I remember that was I wanted to hear about women. I wanted to hear about this and that. And I think towards the end I had the stones to ask him a few real questions, but really, it was just getting to know him.
Was there a drop-off, or did you guys go out afterward? Come on.
No, there was a drop-off.
Oh, okay.
David, he's not the...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Same as others that we've played with over the years. He's a mellower guy.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, he'll have fun and whatever, but he was a serious, like, he wasn't sacrificing his play to have, you know, fun at night.
So the opposite of Harvey.
Well, I'm not gonna.
Hey, you don't have to. I know it. We all know it. I mean, it's not a knock. Hey, some guys live the way Harv did, and I love that guy. So, and I love David Wright too.
Yeah, they're different for sure. David was a very, like, he still is. I mean, he did everything, like, you know, by the book, in a very right way, which, you know, there's no right or wrong way to do it. Like Matt is,
he was on top of the baseball world.
Yeah, he was the best. Yeah. And both of them were successful in their own way. So, but David was, it wasn't like he would go out and have like a beer, but like he wasn't, and he's also back then for sure, a little more guarded too, and didn't want to like put himself in a position where anyone would see or say anything negative.
What do you think? We're talking about Josh Shatton in studio tomorrow. David Wright's number five, going to be retired forever out at Citi Field. What do you think made David such a special leader?
I just think he had the ability to be one of the guys while also commanding respect, which I think is like a hard thing to do. You know, I think it's, he could mix it up. He could joke around. You could joke around with him. But at the end of the day, like everyone respected him as a man and as a player, because he did everything the right way. I mean, I remember one of my first like couple weeks in the big leagues, you know, we had a 7 o'clock game, game's over at 10, you have dinner. And then most guys would shower and go home. Like he was in the gym and at like 11:30. And I was like, if he's doing it, what am I doing? You know? And I think other guys, like I remember Murph used to like do it too. And I guarantee part of it was because he saw David doing it. And it was those kind of things where you like, look at a guy that, you know, we were on game 150 and he's still like grinding at 11:30 at night in the gym doing what he has to do to get ready for, you know, game 151. And so like it's those little things that, you know, I don't think every superstar was doing.
Where were you at in 2015? And I only ask that because I'm sure you were there for part of the buildup from him, right? You played with the Mets from 11 through 14. Had actually an impactful 2013. That was your best year in the big leagues.
Yeah.
You hit, I have it up here, 3 homers. You hit .280 on the year, and you played in 75 games. So that's a nice chunk that you had in 13. But obviously, Wright had to deal with the injuries and then the, you know, coming back to the World Series. Yeah. Where were you at in 2015?
So I got designated in 2014, claimed by Cincinnati. And that year was a disaster for me. I got hurt in spring training. It just never worked out for me. But I wasn't with this organization. I was with the Reds.
Right, but so you stayed with the Reds the entire 2015?
Yeah.
Were you there when the Mets clinched to go to the win the division in 2015? Or you don't remember that? It was in Cincinnati.
I was on the DL the whole year.
Okay.
I missed the entire season. I was in and out of like rehabbing in AAA. It was a disaster. So I wasn't there.
So you didn't, did you appreciate at least from afar?
Yeah, I went to, I mean, so I was like, you know, with between David and Daniel Murphy and, you know, Matt and all these guys, like I came up with these guys. Like, I mean, I didn't come up with David, but like, I've known these guys a long time. So Murph actually convinced me to go to two of the playoff games in LA, which I never would do. But like, I took my dad. My dad's like a big Dodger fan. And I was obviously rooting for the Mets. But so I followed and I knew and I was into it because these are like the guys that I, you know, came up with and loved.
So you did get to watch, at least from afar, right?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Experiencing that, you keep referencing saying the right way, the right way. You know, SNY premiered The Right Way last night. Did you see this yet?
I haven't seen it. I interviewed for it. I don't even know if I'm in it.
You are.
Joe sent it to me.
Joe Krause.
Yeah. I haven't been able to watch it because I've been traveling. But I've seen some of the clips and whatnot.
Dude, it is so good.
Is it?
I think it's one of the best that they did. Yeah. And for me, now you know me.
Yeah.
Well, real time, I'm gonna rip you guys. Like, that's just how it is. Yeah. I remember with you, it was like, oh geez, Lucas Suda, Ike Davis, Josh Satin. Can you get one first baseman? You got three of these guys. Give me Jose Abreu. So that was what I was saying back then. And same thing with David Wright. And I told this to David's face, like in 2006, I was more disappointed. He was the golden boy, could do no wrong. I don't think he was good enough in the 2006 postseason. But years, and obviously he got better as time went on. He had a great career. I don't think I appreciated it enough in real time, especially with the ups and downs with him. Not just the performances, but the collapse in 07 by the Mets. Same thing again in 2008. And then when you start getting into the injury stuff with him, but then building it back up, the way that he was as a person. Dude, to me, there is no more arguing. I always looked at it as Seaver, Piazza. I think it's Seaver and David Wright, and I don't think anybody's going to surpass that. Forget the records, lifelong Met, what he gave to the franchise, how he represented the franchise, the respect that he had, and the production. I think David Wright's the greatest Met outside of Tom Seaver.
I agree. I'm not old enough to know Tom Seaver that well.
He's just the franchise.
No, I know who he is, obviously. Yeah, obviously I know who he is. But to see
him pitch. You know who Carl Hubble is? The answer was no, you didn't. Who the hell is that? Anyway, okay.
It's so funny with Piazza, because I grew up in Los Angeles. Like, I think Piazza was a Dodger. And, like, when I came here, and I think Mike thinks he's a Met. But, like, I grew up where, you know, he won the Rookie of the Year. Like, Mike was one of the best Dodgers of my childhood. And it's funny to me to hear, like, people say best Met ever, because, you know, half his career was with the Dodgers. And, and as a fan and as a kid, like, I still, now I think of him as a Met because I'm around it all the time. But as someone from LA, like, his stint with the Mets didn't even resonate with me. He was a Dodger. So, like, I say that because, like, obviously David was here for, you know, 15 years.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I wasn't in the organization at the time, but I do think, like, the, his first 5 years, and he had a lot of good years after that, but David's first 5 years, I think, are underappreciated because, I mean, they were, he should have won at least one MVP. I mean, I think he was a top three player in baseball for his first 5 years. And I'm not limiting it to 5 years, but those first 5 years were ridiculous.
Did he ever talk to you about the difficulties in the ballpark? To me, that was the thing that really screwed him. Because I remember going into the 2009 season, yeah, first year at Citi Field, I'm like, this is his MVP year. He was getting close. This is going to be the MVP year. And then just the ballpark, I think, really did him in that year where he had 10 homers. He recovered years after that, but then the injuries started making a part of that. He ever talked to you about the difficulties of Citi Field versus Shea?
He has, but I can tell you as a former player, like, I know exactly what was going through his mind. There's nothing worse than... So as a hitter, and David, again, like, I say this loosely because he was obviously like a you know, multi-time All-Star, and I barely played in the big leagues. But, like, we had a similar hitting style where we wanted to go the other way. And if you hit your best bullet right center field, and not only is it not a homer, but it's an out, like, that's mentally draining. And I think that's what happened. I know that's what happened to him. And you know, it's one thing for it not to be a homer, but instead of it being a homer, you're 0-for-1. All of a sudden, like, you start to try to pull things. You know, you feel like you can't do what you've always been doing. And you know, the best hitters, in my opinion, always go the other way and are, you know, can drive the ball to the opposite field. And so I think that played a huge part in his challenges that year. I'm sure, like, we don't need to get into this player, but, like, Jason Bay was an example. Like, I think it just destroyed him, too. Because,
but Citi Field was supposed to play to his strength, so why do you think it destroyed him?
Because he, you know, I do think that, like, he was trying to hit the ball the other way to stay on pitches, and they weren't homers and they were outs. And I do think, like, and it doesn't take, like, a mentally weak person to do that. This is just human nature.
Did you play with Bay, or he was gone by the
time? I played with him
here.
for
2011?
2011.
Okay.
And I got to know him well. He's a super nice guy.
Yeah. You know what? He was one of the guys that took it easy on, because, like, you could see.
Oh, he cared. It just didn't work out, obviously. Yeah. But I do think, like, the, you know, baseball is such a mental game, and I think that a lot of people, even executives in the business, they take that for granted, how much, like, the mental psyche of hitting comes into play. And when you think you've won, but then, meaning, like, hit something well, but you've actually lost, and it happens over and over and over again, like, human nature is, I'm going to make a change. And the change is not a good change, because what you were doing was right, just the field didn't play into what you were supposed to do.
Well, you just didn't get the right results.
Yeah,
we're in studio talking with Josh Satin here. We'll take a break. We'll come back with your calls, by the way. Josh, tell me, big sports fan here. Loves Jackson Dart, big Lakers fan, but went to a Knicks postseason game. We'll get into the fantasy football and those things coming up. 888-808-1019. You could also call and talk about David Wright or ask him about his big league career, what it was like to play with the Mets, whatever's on your mind. But before we break, I want to get some insight into the road rage story that you talked about, where you're driving with David. Yeah. I read about this in the Post yesterday. I think Vaccaro had it. Somebody had it in the Post. It was a great article. And talking about somebody cut off you guys and then realized David was the driver. Give me some insight to what was going on there.
Yeah, so after he picked me up that first day, like, he was like, I'll take you whenever. And so I was like, all right, I'll go with you every day.
Yeah. Obviously.
And so I just remember one time, and he didn't do anything wrong driving, I don't think. I don't really remember exactly what happened, but I do remember, you know, how people in New York are like,
yes, yeah.
People in LA are like this too, but people in New York, you know, if something happens there, and I remember some guy, like, they, like, kind of had an incident. They didn't crash or anything, but, and some guy was, like, flipping him off, like, double bird flipping him off, and then all of a sudden realized, like, looked and was like, and I just remember, the look on the guy's face was like, it went from, like, I want to, you know, kill you, yeah, to I love you. And like, literally a heartbeat. And that was when I was like, all right, it's, you know, obviously knew David was, like, you know, a very, you know, influential person in the city, but that was what, like, made me laugh. That was like, all right, this guy's, it's different with him in this city, and people, you know, a crazy New York driver, like, just flips on a dime when he sees who it is.
And how was David handling that? Because I know he's the greatest guy ever. Everybody talks about his kindness, but he's also a fiery competitor. Did he
get... I don't remember. I just do remember that, like, he just, like, brushed it off. I mean, he was different. He's different in, although we do play a lot of golf together, and he's a fiery, he can get fiery, but, like, in life, he's not like he was on the field. Like, he's more mellow.
Were you there when he tossed Syndergaard's lunch?
I was not there.
Whoa. I mean, that's fiery. Come on. You love that about
David.
Yeah,
for sure. But life-wise, like, he's not, he's a mellow guy.
He's still able to play golf even with the back issues?
Yeah. I mean, I'm like 30 to 50 yards farther than him up the tee. But
I want to bring that up to him.
Please do. He'll say it's more like 15 to 30, but it's like, you know, whatever. But he's actually a good golfer. Okay. We started after like, it's probably like 5 years ago, we both started playing golf. We're pretty close. He's probably slightly better than me. And the only reason is like, he doesn't have a job and, you know, he's practicing four times a week. I'm going to an office and working a job. But we do like play a decent amount together.
So you started just 5 years ago, both of you guys playing golf? You didn't play when you were playing?
No. You know, there was like an old adage, like golf is bad for your swing. I think it's not true now that I play a lot of golf, but, so for me, like my only skill set in baseball was hitting.
Right.
And so like I wasn't going to do anything that like could potentially jeopardize that. So I didn't play golf until probably like 2019.
So what happened your year with Cincinnati in 15? You were going to be with the big league team, but you just got hurt?
I had a concussion in spring training. And it just didn't have a great spring training. I had to sit out and then I basically didn't play the whole year.
And then that was it for you.
At that time I was 30. I was coming off a bad 2014 also.
And you only got in 25 games in 2014.
Yeah, I made the team in 2014 and I was a platoon player and I had like one start in like the first like 35 games. It was because we didn't face a lefty. Yeah. It wasn't like any like.
Okay.
And I just like was so out of sync and I pinch hit every day and I.
But that's tough, pinch hit.
Yeah, it was horrible.
You go your whole, I'm assuming your whole life coming up, you were the best player on your team.
Yeah,
raking
of course.
And mashing. Then you get to the big leagues and it's like, hey, you're going to play, you'll pinch hit, maybe play a day, a week, or whatever it is when you get the opportunity. It sucks because you got to make the most of your opportunities, but it's...
Exactly. It was hard. I mean, I like now that I'm older and looking back, I would have done things differently and just like prepared differently. I was like a very rhythmy, twitchy hitter. And... It just like that year, I just couldn't figure it out. The year before, like I was pinch hitting a lot too, but I was also playing a lot and I was doing well. When you're doing well, like you're relaxed. You know, the pinch hits are like, you know, it's not life or death. When you're like, you know, 2 for 20 and you get a pinch hit opportunity, you know, in my mind, it's like life or death.
Yeah, if I don't get a hit, I'm going back to the minors.
Yeah, exactly. So that year didn't work out. And then, you know, I sat out and I basically didn't play the whole year in 2015. I played a little bit in the minors on rehab stints and then I signed with San Diego in 2016, got sent to AAA, I was like, it was the first time in my life where I wasn't playing every day, and I couldn't even be mad about it. Like, Rod Barajas,
sure.
He was our manager in AAA. I played
with catcher,
him.
Right?
Yeah. I played with him. I think he was our backup catcher in 2011.
Yeah, okay.
And, like, we would, my whole life, and this never happened to me, where I was never, like, a starter, but... except in the big leagues, but it, you know, I was like there, I wasn't playing that much in AAA and you know, it's not a good thing when you're like, what am I can't even go to Rod and say, what the hell, dude? Because I wasn't good. I like, they were better than me and younger and whatever. So that's when I knew it was time to go.
How tough was that to make that decision?
It actually wasn't that tough. My wife was pregnant at the time. It'd been a tough couple years, which was interesting about baseball. Like 2013, like I thought I was like, you know, I'm in. Like, I'm here for 5 years. Like,
right.
You know, I hit well. The team likes me. Like, you know, all of a sudden, like, the next couple years were tough. So it wasn't that. There was a lot of things I missed, but it wasn't that hard for me to get away because I was so mentally drained from, like, just wanting it so bad and it not working out.
And now you have to settle for beating D-Dub's ass on the golf course.
Exactly.
September 13th, you're going to be in the alumni game out at Citi Field?
I am. I was surprised to get that call, but I guess I'm playing. I'm going to play. I got to start training.
What kind of training are you going to do for this?
I'm not training. I just don't want to embarrass myself. I mean, I haven't thrown a baseball or hit a ball in like 10 years, but I actually saw on SNY, I was like, I don't know where I was watching it, but Jose Reyes was on.
Yeah.
And he said he was training for it. And I was like, God dang it.
And he probably is, dude.
If he's training for it, like, I got to do something just so I don't embarrass myself. But yeah, I'll be there, I'm planning it.
I was talking to Piazza about it, Piazza and Franco, but Piazza's like, oh, man, you know, those are the older guys now. You guys are the younger guys, the Citi Field team.
Right.
So
right.
Those guys are worried about not embarrassing themselves. I looked at the rosters.
Well, their roster's way better than ours, but
100%.
Mike's got to be in his 50s, right?
Yeah, well, I don't know, actually. It's a good question. I can look it up real quick. But those guys are older. You're right. And their roster, I'm glad you said it.
I mean, I do think
he's 56, Piazza.
He's 56. Yeah. Like, I would hope a 40-year-old me can compete up with a 56-year-old Mike, but probably not. I don't know. Who knows? But, yeah, I mean, their roster's, I mean, obviously better than ours, but I think that we're a lot younger.
Yeah, so that's the thing.
I mean, there's guys. I mean, Kevin Pilecki's coming. He played last year in the big leagues.
Yeah.
So, like, I know Mike was, you know, Mike, but I think Kevin's probably better than him right now.
Oh, that's going to be fun. I'm going to be there watching as a fan. But I did look at the roster. I'm like, all right, Josh is there. That's cool. But, like, God, the names on the field side are not.
When Jay Horowitz called me, I was like, damn, like, that must have been a rough decade for us.
It was. You know? It was a rough decade. No offense to you, but it was a rough
obviously,
decade.
Obviously. Yeah. And, like, you know, some of the better players that from that decade are still playing, obviously, like Wheeler and DeGrom and mm-hmm. those guys. So I do think when it's all said and done, like, there could be the roster could look a lot better. I mean, you could throw Justin Turner in there.
Right. Retired. What's his deal?
He's still playing.
Oh, where's he at?
He's in Chicago.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Left the Dodgers, right.
Yeah. But there's other guys that they could bring around that are, you know, a little bit better. But
no, David. David's not even going to be there, do you know, or not?
I don't know. If he's not, I don't think he's going to play.
Well,
I think
he's not going to play, I wouldn't think.
I thought he would maybe be there. I don't know if he's going to be there. Okay. But, yeah, he's not going to play.
All right, what about tomorrow? So how many of your former teammates have you been seeing this week? Is going to be a big crowd there tomorrow?
I actually haven't seen any so far. I got here early. I think they're all – most people – the plan was for everyone to come today. I came early for some, you know, work purposes, but I know, like, Murph's coming. I saw the list of guys. I mean, there's only of the guys that are coming, the only one I keep in touch with on, like, a regular basis is Daniel Murphy and Harvey. But I think, like, John Neese is coming. Dylan G is coming.
Neese is coming?
Yeah. He was on the list. I haven't spoke to him, but there's some great characters that are coming.
Are these people that David invited, or are these just people that the Mets said?
I think he got, like, final say on the invite list.
Okay.
I know, like, he was, like, there's guys before my time, like Joe McEwing, I know, is, like, David and him were tight. I think he's coming. I've never met him before, but yeah, from, like, my era, there's a bunch of good names coming.
And then we got a big party planned tonight, or what?
Yeah, there's a little something tonight that we'll go to, and then tomorrow's the big day.
What time are you getting to the ballpark tomorrow?
There's actually a very detailed schedule that the Mets put together.
Oh, so, like, you're going to be on the field as part of...
Yeah, like, they're picking... I mean, everyone's staying at the same hotel that they put together, right. So, like, they're picking us up at a certain... There's, like, breakfast. Everyone's got to go to breakfast.
You ride a bus, or how's that? You get a special limo, or is it...
I mean, they're providing the transportation. It depends what Steve wants to pay for,
let's
I guess.
Keep going! Come on!
But it's... Yeah, there's a whole itinerary. They've been... I mean, give the Mets credit. I've gotten, like, 100 emails about this thing, making sure, like, everything's on point. So they're putting, you know, their full force and they've got this thing planned to a T.
Do you know, and I thought about this morning, do you happen to know if the Wilpons are going to be there? And I ask only because, you know, obviously they were longtime owners with David Wright. But either way, I know they're still part of the organization in some ways, like they have a suite there or whatever. You know if the Wilpons will be there tomorrow?
I don't know, but I think Jeff should be there. I mean, I don't know if he was invited. David and him were close. I mean, we always liked Jeff. And I mean, I love, like, Fred was one of the nicest men I've ever met. Yeah, I think they should be there. I really don't know. I should have asked him that. We haven't talked about that, but, I definitely think they should. I mean, they're a big part of his life. They were great to him. I think he was great to them. Like, they were, I think, you know, David was a great ambassador to the team when they owned it. And I think they realized and appreciated that. And, you know, Jeff treated him really, really well.
Yeah. And I think he, like you said, he has respect for them. I would be surprised if they weren't there. And I hope if they are, Mets fans aren't stupid and like, don't boo the Wilpons. Like,
no, definitely. So when I stopped playing baseball, and mind you, like, my career was nothing, you know, to write home about, I got a call from Fred Wilpon saying, hey, I heard you retired. He read it in, like, the newspaper, whatever. Whatever you're doing with the rest of your life, I'm happy to help you anytime.
Wow.
To me, that was like, and that's what people don't know and see about him. But he, like, and of course I took him up on that.
Uncle Fred.
Yeah. I flew out here one, like, this was, like, probably 2016 or 2017, and met with him and just, like, shot ideas of what I wanted to do. Like, this guy is, like, one of the nicest men. So, like, I do agree with you. Like, people should, like, they, you know, I think they're a good family. They were great to me, great to, you know, most of the players, almost all, probably all the players. And I think, like, they should be treated that
also,
way.
Also, what I will say, Josh, even before you got here, like, the Wilpons got a bad rap because everybody's like, oh, they never spent as much as George, but they spent a lot until the Madoff stuff. Obviously, that was unfortunate. Nobody wants that on anybody. Yeah. It was a horrible thing. So they were hurt by that. So, all right, a little bit of restraint when you were there all those years from, like, 2010 through really 15, that there were limitations. But, hey, before that, they did spend a lot, and that wasn't why they were losing, because they spent a bunch of money. And every account that anybody said about Fred was that he's the greatest guy. And I know that David, like you said, has a relationship with Jeff and Fred, so I would be surprised if they weren't there. Maybe they don't want to be shown on big screen or whatever, but I would hope that if they were, Met fans now can just look back and appreciate them for the success that they had under the Wilpons.
Yeah, I ran into Fred at... In spring training, I took my son to spring training this past year in Port St. Lucie, and Fred was there watching a game. And I spoke to him for like an hour, and he was awesome. And so I do think he like still feels part of the team, and you know has a love for the organization.
Are you telling me your son's a big, big Met fan, which means you're watching the games with him, so you're still big into the Mets? What do you see with this current ball club? You like where they're at right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think they had a good first half. I like the team. They had a good, and also, you know, being in Los Angeles, like not being a Dodger fan is a lot more fun.
You grew up a Dodger fan?
I grew up a Dodger fan. And then once you play professional baseball, you can't really be a fan of your childhood. It's kind of bizarre.
Right.
And you know, so, and Dodger fans are so obnoxious. Like it's my, you know, my family, my brothers, it's just the worst. Like my littlest brother, he's like 31 now. He still is like a little mean to Daniel Murphy because Murphy hit like 5 homers against the Dodgers in 2015. Like yeah. He, you know, Dodger fans are ridiculous and they're spoiled. And, you know, so not being a Dodger fan, having my son grow up not a Dodger fan in LA is fun. Now the Mets are every bit of capable of the next decade of being the team of the decade. They, you know, they have all the money in the world. They signed, you know, 2 of the best 5 players in the league for the next 10 years. And so, yeah, my son, my son watches every game. I know a lot about what's going on. I love what they've done with the team. I think there's a couple things that need to happen in the second half for it to move forward, but I do think that they're set up great.
You think Vientos will turn it around here? He's had a rough first half after a great year last year.
Yeah, I think I'm like his biggest supporter. You know, what's funny is, and I didn't obviously have any of the success that he had, last year, but I do like he was kind of a guy that was not a huge prospect. He had a amazing year last year, and you know you feel comfortable, but you also like still feel insecure about your place in the big leagues and in the organization because you know or you feel you know 1 bad year, 2 bad, like it could be over in a second. And I do like understand like his mentality. I do think he needs to, and getting off on a bat. Like to a bad start was the worst thing that could have happened to him. If he got off to a good start, I think he'd be ripping this year. So I personally think he's the key to the team. The lineup is thin towards the end. And, you know, I like, you know, some of these other guys to some extent, but there's nobody that can change a lineup and a game like he can, other than like the obvious, like players. Yeah. But like, so that's why, like, I think he's the key. I think he needs to get going. He started to look better the last week. But I think he's the one guy that can change the lineup, whereas, like, you know, Beatty, Acuna, these guys are major league players, but they're not guys that change lineups for you know.
How about do the Mets need to make a decision? We're in studio, by the way, with Josh Satin here, David Wright having his number 5 retired tomorrow. Josh Satin played with Wright, was one of his best friends currently, and obviously back then. How difficult, you could speak to this, obviously, yourself, but Beatty, Mauricio, Vientos, Acuna, throwing McNeil, hard to get those guys regular at bats consistently. So speak to somebody like Beatty or Vientos or Mauricio. Do you think the Mets need to make a decision and just pick one and let them have the runway? Because it could be challenging on the others if they don't have, you know, enough consistent at bats?
Yeah, I do think consistency is the way for to be successful. That being said, when you're in a pennant race and you don't know who's the guy yet, I don't think they know who the guy is.
Correct.
I think they do know, and it's obvious because even you know through his struggles, they're giving him every opportunity. They do know that Vientos is the only one out of all of them that has done it. I mean, this guy was the best player on the team last year, borderline. In the playoffs, yeah.
It was Lindor and Vientos were the two who carried them until the postseason.
Totally. And Vientos hit clutch homer after clutch homer. I made this joke 100 times last year. I went to one of the Mets Dodger games with David, and I sat with some of the Mets brass last year. Vientos hit a very clutch, it was either a three run or a grand slam. And I made the same, and David got annoyed after a while, but this is the best third baseman we've ever had. Yeah, because he was obviously not on David's level at all, but he was a game changer for this team last year. And I think the organization realizes that he can be that guy and are giving him every opportunity to be that guy. So I do think he needs to keep getting at bats because I don't think the other guys can do what he did. I think the other guys have been better this year, but they haven't been close to what he was last year.
Now they also have the luxury of a DH. Maybe that could have benefited you if you had the DH back when you were playing.
I agree.
Get some consistent at-bats.
I do think consistent at-bats is important for any young hitter because, you're still trying to figure out if you belong. And I think Beatty, he has gotten consistent at-bats this year, but I do think leading up to it has been a little bit more challenging. Mauricio has never gotten consistent at-bats. And Acuna has never got a consistent at-bats. And it's hard to establish yourself because you're still unsure about, you can talk yourself into I belong, I'm here, I'm good, I'm as good as everyone. But until you do it at this level, you don't know.
Right, so confidence is a huge thing.
It's everything.
So it's hard, though, because you need confidence to have success, but without the success, how do you have the confidence when you get to that level?
It's very, very hard. And I do think that's been the challenge with some of these big market teams like the Yankees, like the Mets, like the Dodgers, of getting young guys to live up to hype. I think of some of the guys that the Yankees had. What was the redhead guy's name? He was an outfielder.
Clint Frazier.
Yeah. When you're trying to win a World Series every year, you can't just let a guy play it out. They're doing it now, but they didn't, historically in the past, you can't just let a guy play it out. Whereas, if this guy is on the Royals, and no offense to the Royals, but they're, they can give guys opportunity because they're not desperate to win a World Series every year. And so I do think that makes it hard for young guys in these big market teams that are trying to win to establish themselves without consistent at-bats. And it's hard to give them consistent at-bats.
You see what's going on with Volpe?
Yeah. I mean, he's the one that I follow. I know. I mean, it's tough for him. He feels like to me, and I don't know him at all. And I, I don't watch the Yankees as much as I watch the Mets. But it's probably to the point where he wakes up and is dreading coming to the field every day. I've had that before. I think every player has had that because you just don't feel confident. Kudos to the Yankees, they believe in him and they keep giving him opportunities despite what they probably should be doing. Although I don't know if they have anyone better. So,
But dude, it's year three.
But he's still young, right?
He's still very young, but year three, he's not living up to the expectations and he's getting worse. For me, at some point, hey, time out.
No, it's a red flag for sure. Yeah. I mean, it's a red flag. It's funny as someone that never got that opportunity. Part of me is I'm happy that, they're letting him go and letting him figure it out. But also I'm damn, why couldn't, where's that for me? give me 500 at-bats in a year and let's see what you can do.
Did you hate Lucas Suda and Mike Davis?
I loved him. Mike's my closest friend.
Really?
Yeah. He's the best guy.
Well, these guys are taking playing time away from you.
Yeah, but I was taking playing time away from them too. It's funny. They were guys that offered a skill. I didn't have a first base skill set offensively. I had middle infield skill set offensively. I had a second base skill set offensively without the ability to play second base. And that's what kind of held me back. And I say that
they need power numbers from a corner spot.
Yeah, I didn't have that. But I think I could have run around and hit high 200s every year with 30 doubles. But that's not good enough to play first base. And those guys were hitting 30 homers. I do like to say to David, if David was never alive, I think I could have played for third base for the New York Mets. He kind of ruined my career. For a first baseman, I didn't have the offensive skill set that would lead me to everyday playing time, I don't think.
There's a bunch more I want to get to. We have a few more minutes with Josh. We'll have Daniel Murphy, the guy you keep referencing. We'll have him coming up at 12 o'clock, 888-808-1019 if you want to call and get in and talk to Josh. But I have a list of things. We'll take a quick break, come back, finish up. Josh Satin in studio, David Wright, number 5, going up to the rafters tomorrow out at Citi Field. You mentioned John Neese before. You have any insight into what went on with the Beltran John Neese nose job?
I actually don't.
You remember that?
I remember like the story about it. I don't remember. I think it was like the year that I got called up, but before I was up. So okay. I don't know exactly what
I can imagine the talk in the clubhouse around something as significant as that. Busting on John Neese all these years and then paying for the nose job. All right. You mentioned Jackson Dart. Why do you like Jackson Dart?
Well, I like Lane Kiffin, and he was his coach at Ole Miss. And I love watching football, especially college. I mean, both football, but and so I watched a decent amount of Ole Miss games, and I just think he looks like he's a guy that people want to rally behind. You know, he's got like the eye pain, and he's cool, and you know, his teammates seem to love him. And he's kind of got, to me, he seemed like Bo Nix with like a little bit more talent. And Bo Nix was great last year.
He was terrific last year for the Broncos.
So like I look at, it seems like they kind of have a similar skill set. They can move around, but Jackson Dart's bigger. I think he has a stronger arm. And so it just felt like, all right, Bo was good last year. Like this guy, I think, could be as good or better.
So you don't have a team in football that you root for necessarily, being from LA. College, though, you went to Cal. Big Cal guy, big Aaron Rodgers fan.
I love Aaron Rodgers. I'm probably the only one that likes him in right now, but I do like him. I've had a couple experiences with him. Nothing like you know, revolutionary, but my last year playing, I switched up. I was trying to like switch up where like my routine. I started training at this football facility in LA. And it was like Clay Matthews, remember him?
Yeah, sure.
And it was a bunch of guys. Clay was a local guy, and then Aaron came for a week, and he couldn't have been nicer. I was like, I went up to him, I was like, dude, I went to Cal with you. You know, he didn't obviously know where I went, but couldn't have been nicer.
You told him like you played in the big leagues?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Well, everyone there played in the big leagues.
Oh, okay.
Like it was
professional. Athletes,
it was all professional athletes. Yeah. I had another experience with him where I was at a friend's house, beach house in Malibu, and my daughter, who's now 9, she was like 2 or 3. And her and her friend, who was also 2 or 3, like started running down the beach to like, you know, 2 houses next door. And these guys were playing, what do you call it when you throw? They're playing like some game on the beach, whatever.
Frisbee?
Horseshoes.
Oh, okay. Cornhole? Okay.
And like these two like men were like playing with these two, and I'm like, you know, so I just run over there like, who the hell? It was Aaron Rodgers. And he was like teaching my daughter how to play horseshoes. And I didn't get into it with him like, hey, we have to, you know, I was just like, yeah. But he couldn't have been nicer. And so, like, yeah, he gets a bad rap. I like him. I mean, obviously, I'm, like, biased because I went to Cal at the same time, and he was amazing.
You betting on the Steelers this year because of him?
I mean, he's old now. So, it was ugly last year, I thought, with the Jets.
Yeah.
I always root for him, though. Look, I think he's better than what they had last year.
You bet week to week, or you just do the fantasy stuff?
I do it all. I do it all. Like, depends on – I don't bet just to bet, but if I have a hunch on a game, like I'll bet. And I do fantasy. I do pick'ems. Football is in the fall. Now, like football is life.
Yo, dude, it's the best. Football Sundays. Now I remember David being he's a big Giants fan. Were you in a fantasy league with him? That competitor that he is. You ever take him down in fantasy football?
I'm not in a fantasy league with him. He's in one. You should ask Murph about this when he gets on the line. Murph is like the most intense fantasy football player in the entire world.
Is he really?
Oh my god, he's slinging. Me and David joke about it. During football season, I'm not even in a league with him. He sends me trade proposals. He's like, what do you think about this? For like every day.
Murph is he's a great dude.
He's the best.
I've gotten to know him a little bit. Yeah, meanwhile, after years of criticism, I'm like, Murph is inefficient. And then obviously in 15, he goes nuts and the Mets let him go. Actually, Alderson, yesterday we had him on. Sandy said his biggest regret as a general manager is not bringing back Daniel Murphy. And he said he's told that to Murph.
What's funny about Murph, and mind you, Daniel's like one of my favorite guys, and he had an amazing career. Like, Daniel, up until 2015, was everything Sandy didn't believe in. You know what I mean? Like, he was an average hitter that didn't hit for power, didn't walk. He was like everything Sandy didn't like. And kudos to Daniel, and which is why I think Daniel was so successful. Like, he understood where the game was going and changed his thinking to fit the modern, like, game. Like, he was a guy that could hit 290, 300, but on base, 330, and hit 10 homers. Like, to Sandy, that wasn't valuable. And I think to the industry, that wasn't as valuable as, like, it was in maybe 1980.
He said that they had to make the decision whether he thought the postseason Murphy was real or the larger body of work, and that's where they miscalculated.
I mean, how could you know that the postseason body of work was real, right?
I mean,
as a guy that was a fan of his and you know, really like him, like I hoped it was, but I don't think anyone knew that, you know, he borderline should have won the MVP the next year in Washington.
Right.
Like, I don't think anyone saw that was coming, but I'll tell you one thing. When he gets an idea in his mind on, like, either hitting or fantasy football or whatever the heck it is, like, he is going to be gung-ho about it. Like, he's still – so we go on, like, a little trip, me, him, and David, and Ryan Zimmerman from the Nationals. We go on a golf trip. You know, we've done it the last couple years. And, like, it'll be 12:30 at night after the longest, you know, two rounds of golf. And, like, Murph will be sitting there talking about hitting. So, you know, three guys that haven't thought about it. I mean, I don't know. I can't remember when Ryan retired. David retired like 5 or 6 years ago.
Right.
Murph to this day will still talk about hitting ideals. And like, that's what happened. That's why he came back a couple years. Remember when he came back?
Yes.
It was because he got this new idea. He was like, you know what? This is like, this is it. This is why he's the best. And so we talk hitting still. And he, you know, there's nobody better, nobody funnier, and nobody more entertaining than him.
Why don't you hang out? It feels weird to me to boot you out of the studio when you got one of your boys coming on the air. You and I could do the Daniel Murphy interview together. You in for that?
Sure.
You don't seem too excited about this.
Well, I don't know how to interview somebody, so I'll just follow your lead.
All right, follow my lead. We'll be fine. It's just I don't even want. It doesn't need to be an interview. We could just, you know, the three of us chop it up like the good old days.
All right,
you know?
Let's do it.
The three of us. You two used to play. I used to rip you. We'll have some fun and talk about David, right? That's the most important thing. All right, we'll hang out one more segment with Josh Satin. When we return, Daniel Murphy will join us on the line.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.